from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a lot to talk about here. Another day of news, more Rangers content for you, and a lead story here from Oxnard that I think needs some coverage out of the gates. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus. You do have Alec Medford in for Lucius Alexander back home in the Pimp Cup. Send Lucius some love on social media. He'll be back on Monday. Woolchuck and Chia follower here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Tim Collins remote producing here at Training Camp 2020-24. I think there was an extra 20 in there. I'm Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Back Nation. How the hell you guys doing?
Great. Great, man. Great. And I love when I find an extra 20. You know, you got an extra 20 laying around.
You just found an extra 20?
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, what a day.
Yeah. Doing good, man.
This is your day.
Doing good. After last night, I punished a lot of pizza, and then I did a little bit of like, oh, is that a brown liquor? Oh, is that vodka? And you're crossing streams that way.
Okay.
So this was a touch-and-go morning, but I'm really starting to come into my own here in the afternoon.
What did you stop and get at the gas station?
That was just a little fuego.
Oh.
Just a little fuego.
Okay.
Fuego rapido?
What did you stop for the gas station for?
I needed some dip.
I thought you were checking to see if they had diapers there.
Yeah,
I was. This isn't Walgreens, bro.
I was trying to get some Depends.
Yeah.
At the rudder room.
After the pizza,
at
the beer.
Yeah, the rudder room. I had a little problem with the grease and the pizza got to me a little bit, yeah. And I was looking for some Depends.
Dude, that
maybe some handy wipes.
No joke. That'll run right through you. But it was a fun night at the rudder, and you're right. I get nervous about like combining different colors of liquor.
I get nervous about Bobby at the rudder room.
Well, now, what happened here? I've heard
it was embarrassing. It was honestly embarrassing for Bobby, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
What led to this?
Are you embarrassment?
Well, I mean,
Go ahead, we
invited Bobby to come in, and Bobby really hasn't been doing much ever since the weekend. I think he did embarrass himself
the
previous time at the rudder room. Hasn't wanted to go back out since. And so
his picture's on the wall of like embarrassing moments.
Don't let this guy in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
the wall of shame of the rudder room.
He's getting in fights with everybody, whether it's Brian, whether it's Sandler. Last night it was Jeff. He was taking his fury out on Jeff over, the hierarchy and the structure of the organization.
Structurally it's fine,
but nothing. I don't want to get into that. We can talk maybe with Bobby later about that, have him explain
that
would be nice
his arrogance to you. But I know the B word is triggering for him. them.
Okay.
I didn't know the P word was as triggering.
Oh.
The P word's been floated around.
So I'm just joking around. Like, we'd already, this is our second stop at the Rudder Room. We were at the Rudder. We went for pizza. We came back to Rudder because Bobby hadn't been there. And so I'm like, why don't you go get yourself a drink, you P word?
Wow.
Next thing I know, he comes back and he's got what I thought were like shots for the table.
For the table. Yeah.
Instead, he lines up three in a row with just a little bit of a Sprite back, and he just smashes them. Boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
And then
he showed you who the P word was.
I mean, hell. Yeah,
take that, Wolchuk.
It was extremely impressive.
It was violent.
What kind of shots are these? Are these regular whiskey?
No, it was bourbon. He's drinking bourbon. Jack Daniels, yeah.
Okay, that's impressive. And up to that point, had there been any consumption, or was that just the start?
I think he had had one previously before that. We had taken one together.
He's funny because he'll get a double vodka soda, but then when it's time to take shots, he goes to the Jack Daniels. So he's just going back and forth with these things.
So the first three shots are down just like that, and from that point on, it was a wild night.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah. Progressively snowballed.
Now, Brian said maybe there were as many as 7 shots in 15 minutes.
He doubled back to the bar and had another like roulette of shotskis as well. So
unbelievable. Legend.
He got there after it in a big way.
Shotty!
Our training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, by Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. And joining us now on the on-time experts hot seat, on-time experts air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. It's offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're fantastic, Shotty. Now, I got to say, I know you just had a presser.
Yeah.
We've heard none of that. Oh. We've been doing our show. So it's very possible.
So you're going to ask the same damn question.
We might ask you the same damn question.
As long as you don't screw up our dinner reservation tonight. You know, we have a little staff dinner tonight.
Staff dinner tonight?
Well, I can't tell you guys that. I mean,
we're all going to show up.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But I did hear that Coach McCarthy's picking up the tab. So
there you go.
Nice.
So there might be some extra appetizers ordered, and there might be a few extra drinks ordered. Make time for you guys anytime.
Thank you.
So what's the focus here, this training camp for the offense?
Yeah, again, basically take year one. And how do you improve it in year two? And that's probably the details, and that's the orchestration of perfecting some of the things that we're trying to do. Now we're taking a scheme that they were learning last year, plays, and now we're trying to perfect it. We're trying to take these plays that they were learning last year and now run them better, be more precise with our breaking points in the passing game, do a better job fighting through contested catches on the perimeter, do a better job with the run game fits of our combination block. So it's really, they know the plays. They learned them last year, right? They have repped them all spring, but to do it and then do it in pads is all about taking the things that they know, and now it's the mechanics of them doing it together, because it's the ultimate team sport, right? We know that. Like, again, Zach Martin's a great player, but if Zach Martin and Brock Hoffman can't work a backside combination block together, then guess what? The play's not going to look as good. Or if Dak throwing to Jalen Tolbert and he thinks he should break in and tighter at 45-degree angle, he's breaking in at 60-degree, 90-degree angle, then it's not going to work. So it's really those little things that we're having fun, because we can get through the film quicker, and we're actually probably doing more individual meetings now by position group, because that's what they need right now. They know the plays, and so now it's more of the fundamentals and techniques that we really think in year two will take us even to another level.
30 points per game, that's pretty lofty last year. How much better can this offense be?
I really think we can do even another point or two better. Again, Dax just, you know, feels really good with where we're at. I think, obviously, everybody wants to talk about CD, so I'll just raise that right now. Like, CD will be back. CD will be ready to go. But, again, what's happening right now is Dak's getting to throw to Jalen Tolbert and Jalen Brooks, and T. Billy's having a hell of a camp, and he's working those guys that maybe he doesn't have the banked reps in that he has with a guy like CD or Brandon Cooks. And so I just really feel like we're in a really good spot. Our confidence right now is really good. We're doing even more stuff than we were able to do this time last year, and that normally tells you that the offense or the scheme is doing this. You're kind of, you know, rising as you get going, and then, of course, it's going to be fun to watch some of these position battles along the way through camp and preseason, and really competitive roster, man. I mean, really, we go from position to position, and there's some going to be some hell of a battles.
This is the first time I ever got to talk to you. I want to thank you for sharing your dad with us.
No, I appreciate
that. And I was a scout in the NFL for 13 years, 92 through 2005, I loved watching your dad's football teams. I really did. When you started about talking about toughness and how to build the team the right way, I really appreciate what your father did, and thank you for sharing him with us.
Well, if I can respond to that, number one, thank you. And it's really cool for me. Obviously, you know, Mike and I were together in Kansas City.
Sure.
But I'll be sitting back in the team meetings, and I'll be making some notes and writing things down of what he's saying. And it's really cool to see whatever year that was, 97, I think was our last year there, 2024, Mike McCarthy still using things from my dad. Like, it literally makes me pause. Like, I'll literally pick up my pen and be like, damn, that's really freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like that it's still, you know, as the game's changed. Like we all know, we all know the game has changed completely.
Right.
But like there's certain things that haven't changed. The toughness, the physicalness.
That's right.
Take care of the damn ball.
Right.
So thank you for saying that.
No, I really, your dad was, I was like saying Green Bay and other stops. And I always admired that team for how tough it was and well coached it was. How good are you at stealing plays from other teams?
You know, I wouldn't say we steal a lot of plays. We definitely keep an eye on what people are doing, what trends are there. If it's completely out of what we do, I would say we probably shy away from that. If we have something that's similar that kind of fits what we're doing, you know, we certainly look at what people are doing. But it's got to fit us. It's got to fit Dak.
Yeah.
It's got to fit our personnel.
Yeah.
And, again, it could be a college play. It could be a NFL play. We all watch each other's stuff, right? That's what's so cool. It's like you see a game on Saturday. The next Sunday, you're like, oh, there it is.
Right.
You know, four, five, week six teams doing it.
And see, so, I was in Green Bay with John Gruden and Andy Reid, young guys at the time. And they were like watching Bob Snoker's screen package from Minnesota, and they were always trying to get stuff to Holmgren, you know, like, and that's really how the offense with Favre, it just kind of evolved with, hey, how many plays can you get in? And I wondered if the really good offensive coordinators, it always seemed like they kind of could take a play. I use the word steal, but take a play or two from
somebody. And I do think, I mean, again, you do steal the idea, and then you make it your own. Matter of fact, my first year in the league, 97, Dick Vermeil's staff in St. Louis, that was kind of my job, was just kind of keep tabs on what was the new wrinkles and what people were doing, college and pro, and just I'd jot them down, show them to Dick or Jerry Rome, and sometimes he'd be like, get that stuff out of here, and other times he'd be like, oh, that's really cool. So, as you know, it's been going on a long time.
Right.
But we really do believe that, you know, our system is special. It's got the flexibility, the versatility, but we're always trying to stay on top of trends.
Well, the defensive players I talked to, when you first came here, you were doing stuff on the defensive side of the ball. And the defensive coaches or the defensive players were telling me, this Schottenheimer guy knows what he's doing. So is that studying other teams and stuff like that? Was that something that you were kind of saying, okay, and they were saying, hey, he comes up to us and say, now you got to watch this. You got to watch this. So it was something. Was it something different for you there?
No. Yes. I mean, I'm a football junkie, man. Yeah. You ask my wife and my kids, man. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, who goes home and on Saturday afternoon after doing football all week, and you're like, hey, let's watch all five games that are on, you know, TV.
Right.
Like, I'm a football junkie. But that year on defense was really cool for me because while I was helping them try to defeat blitzes and anticipate things, I was learning kind of the whys.
Right.
You know, I've never coached on defense.
Right.
You know, I know
like
Belichick had a thing that was actually really cool where he'd take a McDaniels or a Daboll when he first got them, and they were offensive guys. He'd move them to defense for a couple of years. Like, I think that's brilliant, by the way. But, like, for me, it was really cool to be there. And some of it, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense why they do it. And sometimes I was like, holy shit. We just overthought that one. They're not thinking the first thing. You know, we're giving them way too much credit. They're not doing any of the stuff that we thought they were doing.
Yeah.
So, but it was invaluable, and what made it to me so valuable was that the coaches and the players really did listen and respect my ideas. I'm sure there's some people that, you know, they listen to and they just kind of, but I respect them for that, and felt like I did have some hand in helping.
Sure did.
It's Cowboys OC Brian Schottenheimer here with you on The Fan.
I wanted to pick your brain on the run game a little bit because you are. I mean, I've always thought from your dad and with you, you've always had a good running game everywhere you've gone, and it seems like right now everyone from the Shanahan tree is having a tremendous success. And you talk about the outside zone, but for you, depending on your offensive line and your runner, what can you do from a coaching standpoint to try and help them have more success and give you some advantage in the run game?
Yeah, I think here's what's crazy about the league right now. What we see defenses trying to catch up. What do I mean by that? We've always been the ones that control what I call the rules of engagement, which means we pick the personnel, we pick the formation, we pick the motion, we pick the shift, we pick the K. We pick everything. And so run or pass. And what you see from defenses now is the multiplicity of defenses that we're seeing and the amount of fronts that we're having to block has made it a lot harder. And so what we believe as a staff and what, you know, what we want to be is we want to be multiple. Mm-hmm. And our multiplicity should help us attack the entire field, right? Whereas, again, a lot of the Shanahan guys, I mean, I remember watching Mike and his guys run it, you know, to perfection with Terrell Davis and guys, the outside zone. But we want to be multiple, and we're going to run our outside zones, but we're going to have a little inside zone, and we're going to get the ball on the perimeter, and oh, here comes Kevontae Turpin, and he's going to get, you know, like we just feel like that helps you stay ahead of the curve. It's hard to run the ball in this league, and unfortunately – is what it is, but the way we're forced to practice now has made it harder.
Right.
I mean, just think about it. Like in the spring, we can't do any.
You can't have any pads.
I mean, listen, you mentioned my dad. I remember OTAs back in San Diego.
Yeah.
And it was like OTA 2. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And we drafted Tonyu Fanoti, a 345-pound guard from Nebraska, first-round pick.
Yeah.
And poor Ben Lieber. This is OTAs. Poor Ben Lieber was a Sam linebacker, right? And we ran power. Like, we literally ran 62 power, like, five times in a row. And he had just shells on and was having to frickin' force the play. And after five plays, he's like, Jesus, can we run a different play? He's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But, like, now you get a guy on the ground, and it's like, oh, my God, we're going to get fined. So it's just the way the game has changed. It's made it harder. And so you have to be really more intentional in camp. And then even the preseason game to run the football because you can't do it in the spring.
You mentioned versatility. How much leveling up of responsibility are we going to see from some of these guys? It looks like you got Turpin playing a little running back. There's Deuce Vaughn playing receiver. Ferguson's doing a little fullback action.
Yep.
How much of that is in the cards for this season?
You know, year two, we're calling it cross training. You know, we're doing a lot of cross training. So, as you guys know, you only get a certain amount of guys on game day.
Right.
And so there's certain schemes that I'd be lying to you if I said – in past years, you have a package of plays that are up, and then all of a sudden you lose a guy or two,
right?
And you're like, well, that's out the door.
Mm.
So the cross-training has been great. Again, these guys know the plays. They learned the plays last year. So now it's taking them and saying, okay, you're moving a tight end this day. You're moving a receiver this day. You're moving a running back this day. They're actually going to the meetings. They're doing the individual. And it's just helping these guys have more versatility, but also more value. You know, again, we're always hoping that last roster spot on game day is offensive. You know, it's not always that way.
Yeah.
And again, it's whatever's best for the team and Bones and special teams. But we're always telling those guys, hey, make sure you guys stop by Bones' office on the way out the door, and because that's a huge part of figuring out your last number or two on game day.
Roles. How much are you, it looks like to me you're doing a lot with Hunter Lipke. And it's kind of like one of those things, like you see him in the outside motion in, offset stuff like that. Is there packages for him, or is there thought about playing more with a fullback or like the H role that he plays?
It really goes back to the cross-training thing. Like you're seeing him playing fullback. You're seeing him playing halfback. You're seeing him play tight end. And Hunter is such a cool piece, man. Like, dude, this guy's football instincts are just elite. He gets put in different positions where maybe we haven't covered something, but he's so smart, and he just feels the game, man. And like yesterday, 9-on-7, he was running some halfback, and again, he had a little jump cut, and then he kind of the linebacker was there, and he kind of skinnied the cut. Like, it was just like, was that Hunter?
Yeah.
You know, and so, but it goes back to that cross training thing.
Yeah.
When he's in the game, we don't want people to know. Are
right.
we a two back?
Right.
Are we a one back?
Right.
Are we an empty? What do we, you know?
Yeah.
Because he can do all those things.
Brian mentioned the motion. Seems like that's taken over the league. How important is that for you to implement the pre-snap motion, the exit motion, get all that really figured out in the offense?
Yeah, it's critical because what it allows you to do is it allows you to run the same plays but from completely different looks for the defense. So for Dak, his progression doesn't change. For the receivers, their routes don't change.
Mm-hmm.
What I really believe with motion, the key is right, there's teams, and we're one of them, that moves with a purpose.
Okay.
Like these half-speed motions, they don't do anything. Like even if it's just a motion across the ball, like it should have some tempo to it. It should have some urgency to it. Why? You're making the defense sometimes 5, 6, 7 guys adjust. They have to adjust their calls.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always talk about moving with a purpose. Like if we're moving with a purpose. We're trying to create a matchup or we're trying to gather some information for the quarterback. Is it man? Is it zone? What are we getting here? Is it shell? Is it one high? All those different things. So we really preach that a lot.
how much more difficult is it to execute those things in road environments? It seems like that becomes a big challenge, and how can you mitigate that? You don't want to completely change the way you do things offensively just for a road game.
Sure.
Right?
No, and we don't. We again, Dak is great with it. We've got 1,000 different cadences that we can use, both at home and on the road. And he's masterful at that. But yeah, we do not shy away from motions. Because again, we really feel like if we're up to date with our, or up to speed really with our silent mechanics, then we should be able to run everything. Because like you said, you're not going to change. We're not going to say, oh, hey, we're just going to be all static. Right. I think in today's day and age, if you're static, you give the advantage to the defense. And we don't want to do that. We want them to be chasing us around.
Coach, the plan that you have, and this is really the first time that we've got to see Trey Lance quite a bit. Is there a daily plan for him, or is it just part of the quarterback packages and how you guys get ready for practice each day?
Yeah, right now the daily plan is he's going to go in there and he's going to get a ton of reps and he's going to compete his ass off. Again, you guys missed it because you weren't at my presser.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing some really good things,
right,
and he's making some mistakes like most young players. But we really believe, you know, that the reps that he's going to get in training camp, the reps he's going to get in the preseason, if we continue to see him making positive strides, the athlete is crazy, right? I mean,
right,
the guy's an unbelievable athlete. And this guy works his ass off. I mean, like, again, he just he is up early. He's to bed late. He's asking questions. He's meeting with Scott. It's just he's hungry, man. And, again, he made a throw the other day where I saw him, you know, speed up his feet at the top of his drop. You know, we call it the kind of the get back. And he just, boom, boom, put 4 and 5 in the ground and ripped it. And it was like, ah. He's getting it. So that's the stuff that's exciting for us to see.
Finishing up here with Brian Schottenheimer on The Fan. How about this trend where defenses are dropping more guys into coverage to stop the big plays, and they also managed to get the yards per attempted run down last year? Both those things happen. How did that happen? How do you counter it?
I think, you know, you're seeing them mix that up. Again, that speaks to the multiplicity the defense are doing. But again, what I notice is the speed of defenses now, right? Like, yeah, remember when I came into the league, it was freaking Lavon Kirkland and the guy, you know, these 260-pound linebackers, you know. And now so many teams are playing sub-defense, and so many of these linebackers are 4'5", 4'6", guys. And so I think that's one of the things. But, again, where we're really, really good, again, is what we call above the 2.3, right? If they're going to drop 8, what most mature quarterbacks know is, okay, I should have time. And that's our friend, whereas young quarterbacks, they kind of panic. Like, like they've got their rhythm and time clock. Like, oh, the ball should be gone. Well, yeah, but they're only rushing 3. And so, like, what I've learned is, like, I remember in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, like, they would drop 8 and only rush 3, and, like, he'd still be on that the time clock where the ball's got to come out of his hands. Like, hey, dude, just relax. Like, we've got time. We've got the advantage. And so the way that thing's going to adapt is us having to hurt people with that, and that might be Dak with his arm or Dak with his legs. But the speed's a big part of it that defenses now have.
All right, question. When's the last time you sports cried? Could be happy or could be upset, perhaps.
Sports cried.
Has it been over a decade?
No, I cried after the Green Bay game this year.
That's my guy.
All right, thank you.
That's the right answer, baby.
Yeah, my wife actually was surprised because she said that was the last time I cried. Actually, the only time before that was when Sam Bradford tore his ACL the second year in a row.
Yeah.
Just because I felt so bad for him because he had worked his way back. But after the Green Bay game, I took that one hard and was disappointed, really, for the players.
Proud you made it to the end there. I think I'd have cried at half myself.
I was, actually.
Hey, we were trying to fix it. So you did not have time. But, man, when you put so much into this, and it's not for us, it's for them, for the locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, any loss is tough to take, but that was a special group, and we're excited for this special group we got now.
Number of plays on a typical game day call sheet?
A lot. Yeah, we're a volume offense. We like that. That way we have some flexibility to get the things if we need to, and that's where, again, year two, we should be able to make some improvements because we can pull things from back pages and stuff like that.
Would you be willing to give us one example of maybe one of your wordier play calls?
I'm going to let Mike McCarthy do that because it gets pretty wordy. people that say football players are not smart have never listened to
the verbiage.
And again, the West Coast system, right, is known for its verbiage, and we've actually trimmed it down some where you can, but some just get long.
Was there one play that you called that you realized, okay, I will never call that again?
Oh yeah, that's either a wristband play or we're just going to call it Neutrogena. And that means all that.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate you guys.
Give him hell.
All right,
there
fellas.
He goes.
Thank
Cowboys
you. Always, always enjoy it.
Yes, sir. Always enjoy having you, sir. There he goes, Brian Schottenheimer. We got the G-Bag of the Day coming up next right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. Thanks to Brian Schottenheimer for joining us here. It was a good conversation. If you missed it, go back with the Odyssey app. We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up in just a couple of minutes. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Cowboys were working out some linebackers, some edge rushers, some defensive ends here today, and Brian has been watching film. He'll give you what he's got on that coming up at 2:40 there in Krusty's Corner. G-Bag of the Day is just coming up here in a couple of minutes, guys. What'd you take away from that shoddy conversation we just had?
Well, I really enjoyed his thoughts on the motion elements. You saw that really after like week 6 or 7 of last year, the Cowboys started to implement that much more. That seems to be something that is definitely a part of what he wants to do, not wanting to be stagnant and stuff like that. Having a diversity in your run game, I probably would have loved to hear even more than just like, hey, we'll do inside zone and outside zone. You know, you'd love to see a little bit more diversification there with what you got. When you look at like what a team in Detroit's doing with Ben Johnson, they got 5 different ways they can attack you from just a schematic standpoint, the way they block things. And depending on the defense that they're playing against and the front that they have, they will utilize all that. Some of that's with personnel and having stud alignment for sure, but the other is having a very imaginative play caller and play designer who understands how to visualize that, implement it, and get his guys to execute it.
I like the part talking about Dak using his legs. You know, I think at this point it's no longer even worth debating around. You get into the playoffs against, you know, good defenses and they got you in checkmate early on. It's got to be a strong dose. Like what he said there, like the counter is, you know, yeah, Dak, you can pick them apart, but you got to run against these defensive looks one way or another, and you got to do it efficiently.
Well, it's, I mean, now you look at the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't know that any don't. Is there a quarterback that doesn't have any mobility? Right, like you don't have stationary quarterbacks anymore. The days of the Mannings and the Matt Ryans that they're just standing in their spot. It's not there. Herbert, mobile. Allen, mobile. I mean, maybe Tua is a guy that doesn't have a lot of mobility, but Mahomes is a guy that can run. How many big plays does he use with his legs in the Super Bowl, right? So to me, Dak's a guy, like, I don't know that he's ever going to be the dude that we saw at Mississippi State, but he certainly seemed more confident in running last year, and just being able to have that as a factor is a help. Another big takeaway for me, and I just talked to Brian about this, but it seems like Hunter Lipke's got himself a spot on this team. He's excited about the potential use Lipke.
Yeah, that's the one guy that I've kind of noticed a lot when you're watching either they do the team stuff, goal line stuff, even the 7-on-7 stuff. It seems to be that Hunter Lipke is a guy that is kind of turning into follow him, you find the ball. You know, in the running game stuff, it's been motion, set, offset. Now they run the ball behind him. He's become a better blocker. And then on when they were doing two-minute drill yesterday, who was the back that was on the field helping with blitz pickup and then maybe throw the ball to? Hunter Lipke. So they're feeling like more of a role, expanded role for him. And even, you know, he got some in the mock game today. Single back, they handed him the ball on short yardage to get a first down. So yeah, there's a lot going on with Hunter Lipke right now.
A lot going on here. Cowboys training camp. Rangers with a day off. We'll be talking about them before too long. But Krusty's Corner's coming up at 2:40. He's going to tell you what you need to know about Carl Lawson and the three other guys who came in for workouts. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Alec in for Lucius.
All right, boys. G-Bag of the Day, 2:30 weekdays here on The Fan. It is back after a vacation yesterday because of some Rangers Day baseball. Our reigning defending champion is Bobby Belt of The Morning Show after he had a bit of a Brian Schottenheimer slip up.
A lot of the times when people are talking about, like, oh, KD did this, that, he gets tagged in a lot of that stuff.
Dump it, Peyton. Dump that.
Dump it. Oh, I got it.
Let me write this down. Another thing for Bobby, using the S word.
Still think my favorite part is the defeated sigh from Peyton.
Oh, I got it.
Like, he just expects better, even though he knows he shouldn't because it's Bobby, but he expects better.
I think Bobby was actually proud of himself for that one.
He was.
He was. He knew that Peyton was going to dump it, probably, I think, right?
Yeah, Peyton's on his P's and Q's.
Yeah, he's not. Peyton's not going to get in trouble.
Unless it's after 6:40 on a Thursday, then he's not.
Good call.
I salute Bobby Belt. Big fan of his, you know, friend of his. He's just not what I thought we were getting, you know? I thought it was like Bobby Belt, insider / friend to players. You know, I was like, man, that's a great role to play on the radio. Instead, he's shock jock Bobby Belt, which I'm a fan of. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Should we bring him back for afternoons? For his segment during football season?
The more Bobby, the better is what
All right,
I'm hearing.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, guys out here doing 7 shots in 15 minutes, cussing on the air. He's
Dawson,
a freaking legend.
Pretty Dawson, I'll tell you, Woolchuck's right. He brought 3 out, and you're thinking it's for the table, but no, it's false.
He's ticking off Sean and laughing in his face?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yep, he gives 0 Fs.
That's right.
I've got a legendary Bobby Boomer Jack story that I might bring to the air sometime, maybe during AM on the FM. We'll see. But speaking of bringing people back, our champion, our G-Bag of the Day on Monday, I believe, was Andy Durham, the Greensboro Grasshoppers minor league baseball broadcaster, for his awful home run call. And guess what, guys? He's
Another
back.
One? Yes.
He is back, and he is worse than ever.
Fly ball center field. Going, 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 going. That's goes.
Did the dogs out?
The hopper homer. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when McAdoo breaks through here at First National Bank Field?
what you gonna do?
Wow. What a quality broadcaster.
Here at First National Bank Field, what are you gonna do when McAdoo goes dong on you? That's awesome, man.
That is some good stuff.
And that home run call, that player, McAdoo, was actually traded for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa here at the deadline.
Oh,
so,
no.
Nice.
That's how that clip got resurfaced. I think it's only like a week old anyways. So this guy, this guy Andy Durham, he's just something else, man.
Andy
he's still
Durham
going
back.
He is awesome.
So that long ooh was the McAdoo?
Yes. I don't know why.
McAdoo.
It's just ridiculous. I hope that we can bring this guy to the air like every week because it sounds like he does this every single game. Like he's got some sort of bit that he does every single game, and I love it. I really
he's a showman.
He is.
Is that a failed bit, or I don't know?
That's a good question. In my book, it's a win, but I know in most people's books, that's probably a failed bit. So
it's like, is it a laugh with? Is it a laugh at?
I don't know.
It's a laugh.
I'm sure he's never getting called up to the big leagues.
This is true. This is true.
Right?
He's going to be calling McAdoo dongs for the rest of his life.
You know who might not get called back to the morning show? Eric Chiafalo. What's up, buddy? I know you had
No. What'd you do?
Did I screw up?
You get too much time on the mic. Eventually, something's going to happen. I think we know this.
You had a bit of a night last night, I heard, and you might not remember what you were talking about with the boys on the morning show this morning. Somehow, bathrooms got brought up, the Port-a-John situation. Out there.
I thought this was great.
You might not remember this, Cheech, but I just want you to know I got eyes and ears everywhere. Take a listen.
Oh, yeah. And the thing to do, like, early on as well, if, like, a choppy situation is taking place in the guys, is just go to the girls. There's no.
Oh, wow. Early enough in the morning.
You used to do that at nights, didn't you?
I may still do that in the afternoon from time to time at the station.
Wow.
After 5 o'clock, it's clear out.
It's kind of risky.
Once we hit the expressway in the G-Bag Nation, there is no risk involved. There is not a female soul to be found. On floor 11. So you may or may not find me on Nancy's throne from time to time.
Nancy.
The grande shout out right there.
Nancy, which one did you use today? Okay, great.
Okay, great. Oh, then you go on her? You go to her?
What did you say?
Oh, Eric's going to the...
Oh, my God. I love... There's nothing better than... Most people hate it. To me, nothing better than a warm toilet seat.
Gosh, that was great.
I forgot about that.
Because, yeah, we're all going to the ladies. I know I'm doing the ladies one as well. Yeah. It's better.
It is. That's just an obvious pro tip. I think we could all raise our hand and say we've benefited from ladies' bathroom at least once in our time.
It's a brand new
It's cleaner
situation.
No one's using it.
It's clean.
That might have been the one rewarding thing about the pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really might have been. It definitely smells a lot better. I can say that. Hmm. See, I got one more.
Voting timer. Okay.
I got one more. This was ESPN's Jeff Darlington. I almost thought this might have been Wolchuk talking for a second. I didn't know that football play calls could do this to a human.
Weird guilty pleasure. And it is listening to quarterbacks call plays.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a romance language to me. I have no idea what they're saying.
No, of course
it's
not.
Sultry and sweet. I just enjoy it.
Mm. Sultry and sweet.
Get him, Jeff.
That's a football guy right there. Jeff Darlington. Stick to reporting, though. He's trying to show a little personality.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of creepy. Bobby Belt gets tagged in a lot of that bleep. Andy Durham is the first challenger out of North Carolina. Hung over Eric Chiafalo with RJ and Choppy. They've been on fire this week with not only the champ, but a challenger as well. And maybe the best challenger amongst them, Jeff Darlington, ESPN. I'll go with Andy Durham. Chief, how about you?
I'm going with Andy as well.
It's 2-0, Medford.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Chiafalo.
Thanks, Medford.
You're welcome.
2-1, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I'm going with the bathroom conversation and Eric.
It's Chief all the way.
Dang!
Let's go!
3-2. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Eric Chiafalo filling in or doing a hit this morning. You're pretty... Man, that's pretty early.
It was early. It was the first time I set
teammate
my alarm.
Of the week.
Yeah. Thank you. I was hoping to get some type of employee of the week deal.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
does that come with like a plaque?
Framed photo, yeah.
Maybe a trophy?
Yeah, from my understanding.
Hell yeah.
That's insane.
We'll
right
give
there.
You another medium pizza eat by yourself.
Hey, that was a large pizza.
Damn
was
right it large.
Was. That was large. That was $35 worth of Meatinator at Topper's last night. And I paid the price until about 11 AM this morning.
Meatinator sounds wonderful. The Corner is brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here, Brian. What's the subject matter?
Yeah, they're bringing some guys in for some workouts, and I'm going to tell you who I think is the best of the group. We'll do that next.
All righty. Thank you very much, Alec. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Our training camp coverage rolls on. NFL News of the Day is coming up at 3 o'clock. Then Sands talking Rangers with you at 3:20 as they're at major fork in the road here on their day off. The winning ways must resume soon. The Corner is brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here, and here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General, and thanks again to Dallas College to being on with us. I really do appreciate that. Just recently saw a tweet from Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He says he asked Stephen Jones, and Stephen Jones told him this. They are looking for defensive end and defensive tackle help.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yep.
So Clarence Hill, point blank, asked Stephen Jones. I'm going to walk you through some of the defensive ends that they're bringing today. And I was on this morning on DallasCowboys.com on the break, which I do. And then I ran into Nick Eatman, and we were talking about these players. Nick was thinking that they might sign two of these defensive ends.
Okay.
Wow.
So there was some talk, some whispering, even before Sam Williams got hurt, that they might be looking at some of these edges.
They did lose a lot of depth, and I wonder defensive tackle if that's Linville Joseph. I mean, that's a name that I know Zim loved coaching him.
Yeah.
I know Paul Gunther's kept up with him and how he's progressing, so that could be, a veteran guy.
Yeah.
Maybe a name to monitor.
Okay, the name that I know Todd Archer put the names out there, if you follow Todd on, and we'll just go through the names. But the main name, and this was a name that we talked about last time when we were visiting about these possibilities of guys coming in. But Carl Lawson was part of the actual going to be the workout group. They might be working out behind us as we speak. You know, they usually.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw a crew of them.
Yeah, they're probably out here right now getting that taken care of, with their work. Alex Loomis and those guys who from the pro personnel department. And then you got your defensive line coaches that would be involved. And, you know, hopefully these guys have kind of kept themselves in some kind of shape. You don't want to bring somebody in and then all of a sudden you throw them in there and then they're not, not able to keep up or they're out of shape and you have to wait and all that. That does nobody good. But Carl Lawson was a name. And I'll go back through Carl Lawson, what I saw on the tape. He was with the New York Jets last time out. And there's initial quickness to his game. He does use his hands well to get off blocks. I think he's a little bit of it. Now, what you're trying to do here, I need to circle back. You're trying to find guys that potentially have traits that were similar or maybe a little better than losing what you got with Sam Williams. So we all know Sam Williams could rush the passer. That was kind of his thing. Playing the run might be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
If you look at a guy like Carl Lawson, kind of feel like Carl Lawson now plays the run a little bit better than he rushes the passer.
Interesting.
So, but this is a type of guy that, he needs to get to the corner, I think, just a little bit quicker. He gets in trouble when he rushes down the middle, and most of these guys do. They just don't have the power to be able to handle rushing guys down the middle and walking them back, unless you're a guy like Micah Parsons, who's able to get under these guys and then push. But Carl Lawson was a hand-down, stand-up guy, did a little bit of both. He's got really good redirection skills back to the ball. So if the ball, he gets up the field and then he retraces back to the ball. So that's kind of stuff in space that you like about him. He can break down blockers with his pass rush, and he can get up the field, I'd say, to create a little bit of some pressure. He will struggle with power if he rushes heads up. I mentioned that. And he's mainly played on the right side. So he's kind of been a right side player. And the film for the Jets. So, and he's also 29 years old. Now, he's part of a workout crew. I watched some guys. Justin Hollins is an edge that, again, they're bringing in. I watched Justin Hollins at Green Bay, and then he finished his year with the Los Angeles Chargers.
DFW guy.
Yeah. And Hollins has, and now you start to talk about how a guy looks like another player. He's similar to what you have with Sam Williams.
Okay.
Long, rangy. He plays as a stand-up edge because he's been with two places where they play with an odd front or a 3-4 front. So he's more like a stand-up outside linebacker rushing. So I didn't see any snaps where he was playing hand down, but I don't think that'll be a problem for him. This guy does. He does a good job of playing off blocks. He's got really good extension. He can close down in the hole in the run game. When you get to the edge, he could dip his shoulder under the blocker. I think he needed a little bit more power with the rip and the finish to be able to free himself. But the chase is there. I'd like to see a little bit better burst from him because there was times where he was in space and you could see him chasing the ball to the outside. And if he just had that little, because we've seen Damone Clark run out here and all of a sudden he's just closing ground, getting to the football. But Hollins is one of those guys that where he's aware to stay at home. You don't see the ball get outside of him when they run the boots, the waggles, you know, the read option stuff. He's pretty good at staying at home. He plays his responsibility pretty well. And I think he's got some good pass rush moves off that left side. I thought he was a little bit better off the left side than he was the right side. But he's got some athletic ability. Mentioned he's got some similar traits to what you had with Sam Williams. Next one is Alkeedon Muhammad. And Muhammad is a little bit of a shorter guy. He was with the Indianapolis Colts. He's got some really good get off the ball. He's explosive out of his stance. His problem is he tends to pop up out of his stance. So when you see him rush, it's instead of going flat and then getting the corner, he kind of pops up and then goes. So I don't know, like I say, but there's some quickness to it. He's got some relentless traits to his rush as well. He's great at chasing the ball. He can get to the edge. I wish he could sharpen the corner a little bit better as a pass rusher. But he'll close things down in the running game. He doesn't quit on plays. He'll extend on the blocker in the running game. And you'll see him retrace his steps to get back in on plays. I like to see him squeeze the hole a little better because there are times when the ball was going inside of him and he got pinned to the outside and then the ball went up inside of him a little bit more than I would like. But he can find the ball. He'll outwork blockers. There's some snaps where he needs to get rid of the blockers a little bit quicker. But there's some struggles with him a little bit when he has to start, stop, then start again. It's like a quickness. And then he stops and then has to restart to get quick again. A little bit of that is a little bit of a problem for him. The last player they're bringing in is Shaka Tony. And Shaka Tony was a draft pick from the Washington Commanders. He sat out all of last year. And I couldn't say this on DallasCowboys.com, but I could say it on our show. He sat out all last year because he was for gambling. He was one of these guys that got suspended for gambling. Mm. And so he had to sit out the entire season. He was suspended, and now he's coming back. He was from Penn State, mainly a special teams guy. When you start to talk about the majority of his work, I watched film of him in 2022 because there's no 2023 tape. He's got outstanding quickness off the ball. He's a hand-down guy. So he could really, really rush the passer. He's got that quickness. He can close down. He moves well. He's got a burst. I like this guy just because of the fact of how bendy and how quick he is off the ball. Okay. But, I mean, there's a burst to his game. So Tony, and then I would say maybe Hollins, and then Muhammad. Lawson, a little bit longer in the tooth, probably going to play the run better than playing the pass. But they're looking for guys, like I said, that's kind of got those traits that Sam Williams had. And hopefully, you know, they can find maybe one or two of these guys to replace Sam and give them a little bit more depth at the position.
Thank you, sir. Been Thank curious you. About those names all day since I saw him on Cowboys Twitter this morning. There he is, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon, about 2:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, NFL news of the daytime. Woolchuck, where are you taking it, man?
Got a quarterback injury, shots fired at the Commanders fans, title belts, and a scary moment at Browns camp. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, thank you very much, Alec. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Our training camp coverage rolls on. NFL News of the Day is coming up at 3 o'clock. Then Sands talking Rangers with you at 3:20. As they're at a major fork in the road here on their day off. The winning ways must resume soon. The Corner is brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here, and here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General, and thanks again to Dallas College to being on with us. I really do appreciate that. Just recently saw a tweet from Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He says he asked Stephen Jones, and Stephen Jones told him this. They are looking for defensive end and defensive tackle help.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yep.
So Clarence Hill, point blank, asked Stephen Jones. I'm going to walk you through some of the defensive ends that they're bringing today. And I was on this morning on DallasCowboys.com on the break, which I do. And then I ran into Nick Eatman, and we were talking about these players. Nick was thinking that they might sign two of these defensive ends.
Okay.
Wow.
So there was some talk, some whispering, even before Sam Williams got hurt, that they might be looking at some of these edges.
They did lose a lot of depth, and I wonder defensive tackle if that's Linval Joseph. I mean, that's a name that I know Zim loved coaching him.
Yeah.
I know Paul Gunther's kept up with him and how he's progressing, so that could be a veteran guy.
Yeah.
Maybe a name to monitor.
Okay, the name that I know Todd Archer put the names out there, if you follow Todd on, and we'll just go through the names. But the main name, and this was a name that we talked about last time when we were visiting about these possibilities of guys coming in. But Carl Lawson was part of the actual going to be the workout group. They might be working out behind us as we speak. Mm. You know, they usually.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw a crew of them.
Yeah, they're probably out here right now getting that taken care of, you know, with their work. Alex Loomis and those guys who from the pro personnel department. And then you got your defensive line coaches that would be involved. And, you know, hopefully these guys have kind of kept themselves in some kind of shape. You don't want to bring somebody in and then all of a sudden you throw them in there and then they're not, you know, not able to keep up or they're out of shape and you have to wait and all that. That does nobody good. But Carl Lawson was a name. And I'll go back through Carl Lawson, what I saw on the tape. He was with the New York Jets last time out. And there's initial quickness to his game. He does use his hands well to get off blocks. I think he's a little bit of it. Now, what you're trying to do here, I need to circle back. You're trying to find guys that potentially have traits that were similar or maybe a little better than losing what you got with Sam Williams. So we all know Sam Williams could rush the passer. That was kind of his thing. Playing the run might be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
If you look at a guy like Carl Lawson, kind of feel like Carl Lawson now plays the run a little bit better than he rushes the passer.
Interesting.
So, but this is a type of guy that, you know, he needs to get to the corner, I think, just a little bit quicker. He gets in trouble when he rushes down the middle, and most of these guys do. They just don't have the power to be able to handle rushing guys down the middle and walking them back, unless you're a guy like Micah Parsons, who's able to get under these guys and then push. But Carl Lawson was a hand-down, stand-up guy, did a little bit of both. He's got really good redirection skills back to the ball. So if the ball, like he gets up the field and then he retraces back to the ball. So that's kind of stuff in space that you like about him. He can break down blockers with his pass rush, and he can get up the field, I'd say, to create a little bit of some pressure. He will struggle with power if he rushes heads up. I mentioned that. And he's mainly played on the right side. So he's kind of been a right side player and the film for the Jets. So, and he's also 29 years old. Now, he's part of a workout crew. I watched some guys. Justin Hollins is an edge that, again, they're bringing in. I watched Justin Hollins at Green Bay, and then he finished his year with the Los Angeles Chargers.
DFW guy.
Yeah. And Hollins has, and now you start to talk about how a guy looks like another player. He's similar to what you have with, looks like with Sam Williams.
Okay.
Long, rangy. He plays as a stand-up edge because he's been with two places where they play with an odd front or a 3-4 front. So he's more like a stand-up outside linebacker rushing. So I didn't see any snaps where he was playing hand down, but I don't think that'll be a problem for him. This guy does. He does a good job of playing off blocks. He's got really good extension. He can close down in the hole in the run game. When you get to the edge, he could dip his shoulder under the blocker. I think he needed a little bit more power with the rip and the finish to be able to free himself. But the chase is there. I'd like to see a little bit better burst from him because there was times where he was in space and you could see him chasing the ball to the outside. And if he just had that little, because we've seen Damone Clark run out here and all of a sudden he's just closing ground, getting to the football. But Hollins is one of those guys that where he's aware to stay at home. You don't see the ball get outside of him when they run the boots, the waggles. You know, the read option stuff. He's pretty good at staying at home. He plays his responsibility pretty well. And I think he's got some good pass rush moves off that left side. I thought he was a little bit better off the left side than he was the right side. But he's got some athletic ability. Mentioned he's got some similar traits to what you had with Sam Williams. Next one is Alkeedon Muhammad. And Muhammad is a little bit of a shorter guy. He was with the Indianapolis Colts. He's got some really good get off the ball. He's explosive out of his stance. His problem is he tends to pop up out of his stance. So when you see him rush, it's instead of going flat and then getting the corner, he kind of pops up and then goes. So I don't know, like I say, but there's some quickness to it. He's got some relentless traits to his rush as well. He's great at chasing the ball. He can get to the edge. I wish he could sharpen the corner a little bit better as a pass rusher. But he'll close things down in the running game. He doesn't quit on plays. He'll extend on the blocker in the running game. And you'll see him retrace his steps to get back in on plays. I like to see him squeeze the hole a little better because there are times when the ball was going inside of him and he got pinned to the outside and then the ball went up inside of him a little bit more than I would like. But he can find the ball. He'll outwork blockers. There's some snaps where he needs to get rid of the blockers a little bit quicker. But he, and again, there's some some struggles with him a little bit when he has to start, stop, then start again. It's like a quickness, and then he stops and then has to restart to get quick again. A little bit of that is a little bit of a problem for him. The last player they're bringing in is Shaka Tony. And Shaka Tony was a draft pick from the Washington Commanders. He sat out all of last year. And I couldn't say this on DallasCowboys.com, but I could say it on our show. He sat out all last year because he was for gambling. He was one of these guys that got suspended for gambling. Mm. And so he had to sit out the entire season. He was suspended, and now he's coming back. He was from Penn State, mainly a special teams guy. When you start to talk about the majority of his work, I watched film of him in 2022 because there's no 2023 tape. He's got outstanding quickness off the ball. He's a hand-down guy, so he could really, really rush the passer. He's got that quickness. He can close down. He moves well. He's got a burst. I like this guy just because of the fact of how bendy and how quick he is off the ball. Okay. But, I mean, there's a burst to his game. So, Tony, and then I would say maybe Hollins, and then Muhammad. Lawson, a little bit longer in the tooth, probably going to play the run better than playing the pass. But they're looking for guys, like I said, that's kind of got those traits that Sam Williams had. And hopefully, you know, they can find maybe one or two of these guys to replace Sam and give them a little bit more depth at the position.
Thank you, sir. Been curious about those names all day since I saw him on Cowboys Twitter this morning. There he is, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon about 2:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, NFL news of the daytime. Woolchuck, where are you taking it, man?
Got a quarterback injury, shots fired at the Commanders fans, title belts, and a scary moment at Browns camp. That's next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.